Jaeger interrupted, but yeah, that's what it's all about. Birds gotta fly, fish gotta swim, and once you get hooked into this kind of research, you've got to do it, or life becomes meaningless. Westfall turned to Dorn. You're not a scientist, are you?
No, I'm not, said the cyborg. Then he added, scientists are curious people. I'm merely a curiosity.
Archer tapped a fork against his water glass, and everyone turned toward him.
I didn't intend for this dinner to turn into a confrontation.
With a grin, he added,
or a symposium on the philosophy of science.
Westfall allowed herself a slight smile. Archer continued.
Tomorrow, Mrs. Westfall, I'd like to show you what we're doing in our studies of Jupiter and its life forms. Show you how far we've come, and how very far we still have to go.
Westfall nodded regally. Until tomorrow, then. Control Center. Deirdre was awakened by the insistent buzzing of the phone. She sat up in bed, rubbed her eyes, and asked the communications systems computer, "Who's calling?" G. Maxwell Jaeger appeared on the screen above her desk. Deirdre saw that the time was only 0600. "Voice only," she commanded the phone.
"D,"
Jaeger's voice sounded urgently.
"You awake?"
"I am now, Max."
"Come on, get dressed and meet me in the galley. We'll grab some breakfast and then go down to the third wheel and inspect Faraday before Archer brings Westfall down there."
"I can't," she said, rubbing sleep from her eyes. "I have to be at the clinic at 1100 hours.
"I'll have you back before then. Don't worry."
"Who's Faraday?" Deirdre asked.
"Not who. What? My ship. The baby that's going to take Andy down to the Leviathans."
"Why do you want me to..."
"I've got to give her the once-over before Westfall sees her,"
Jaeger explained.
"And I'd really like you to see her."
"But I..."
"I want to show off."
Jaeger's voice sounded eager, excited.
"You're the prettiest lady on this merry-go-round, so I thought it'd be fun to show off to you. Okay?"
Grinning at his explanation, Deirdre said, "Okay, I'll meet you in the galley in half an hour."
15 minutes, Jaeger said.
30,
said Deirdre firmly. "It takes time to look beautiful." "Why did you name it Faraday?" Deirdre asked as she and Jaeger rode the elevator down the station's central shaft toward the third wheel. For a moment, Jaeger didn't reply. Deirdre thought he looked almost embarrassed. The only sound in the slightly swaying elevator cab was the swish of its rush down the tube. At last, Jaeger explained,
"Well, he's always been a kind of hero of mine. Michael Faraday, son of a cobbler, back in the early 19th century, made himself into one of the great scientists, an experimenter. A hands-on guy."
Deirdre nodded, beginning to understand.
"He invented the electric power generator, called it the dynamo. Edison and the whole electric utility industry was based on his little contraption. Even the earliest nuclear power plants still used the kind of generator he invented."
"I can see why you admire him," Deirdre said.
Jaeger broke into a grin.
"There's a story about Faraday. He gave a big public lecture in London about his little dynamo, and after it was over, a lady from the audience came up and asked him..."
Jaeger broke into a wavering falsetto.
"Mr. Faraday, your invention seems very interesting, but tell me, of what use is it?"
"Faraday," answered her, "Madam, of what use is a newborn baby?"
Deirdre said, "I've heard that story.
In school, one of the professors told that story as an example of what scientific research is all about.
You betcha, Yeager said. But there's a different version of the story, one that I like better.
The elevator stopped with a ping, and its doors slid open. They stepped out into a passageway, much like the main passageway up in the top wheel. But this one looked new, raw, almost unused to Deirdre's eyes. Its deck was uncarpeted, and it smelled of fresh paint. Yeager fished his pocket phone from his tunic, then pointed toward their right. This way, he said. What's the other version of the story? Deirdre asked as they started along the sloping passageway. The doors along the corridor were unmarked, and Deirdre got the impression that the rooms behind them were empty.
Oh, the other version, Yeager said. Well, it's the same setup. Faraday gives his lecture to the public, but afterward, it's a member of Parliament who comes up and asks him what good his little dynamo might be. And Faraday tells him, I don't know, sir, but someday you will put a tax upon it.
Yeager laughed loudly. Deirdre smiled at him. He stopped at a double door that was marked Control Center, Authorized Personnel Only. Are we authorized personnel? Deirdre asked. As he tapped on the door's security pad, Yeager said,
We are, if I know the lock's combination.
But I'm not.
You're with me, kiddo.
The door slid open, and they stepped into what looked to Deirdre like a mission control chamber. A horseshoe of consoles ran around a central chair whose padded arms were studded with colored buttons. The walls were smart screens from floor to ceiling, all of them blank. Deirdre counted an even dozen consoles, their cushioned chairs all empty, their screens and dials all dead. Without an instant's hesitation, Yeager went to the central chair and settled himself in it. His fingers began playing along the buttons in the chair's arms, and one by one, the consoles hummed to life. Deirdre stood to one side, half leaning against the chair's padded back.
Okay,
Yeager said, nodding as if satisfied with what he saw.
Now, watch the middle screen, right in front of us.
The screen ran the entire length of the chamber's front wall. It began to glow, and then sharpened to show a curving metal surface with an airlock hatch in it. Closed.
That's Faraday,
Yeager said.
A slice of it, at least.
That's the vessel that's going to take people into the ocean.
Yep. That's her. Him. Whatever.
Yeager was still pecking at the buttons on the control pads. The console screens were displaying graphs and images. The gauges were all alight. Ships are referred to as she, Deirdre said, no matter who they're named after.
Because it costs so much to keep them in paint and powder,
Yeager wisecracked. That's an old sexist cliché, Deirdre said with a disapproving click of her tongue. But Yeager's attention was totally focused on the vessel.
She's a beauty, isn't she? This is the first time I've seen her. After all the drawings and plans and simulations, there she is. She's gorgeous.
It looks big, Yeager grunted.
As big as this whole station, almost. So big, we can't attach it to the station. It'd throw the center of mass entirely out of whack, and we'd start wobbling like a drunken sailor.
It's not connected?
Co-orbits with the station. To get to it, you have to get into a spacesuit and go EVA.
Goodness! Grinning tightly, Yeager said,
Goodness has nothing to do with it.
Looking up into her face, the engineer asked,
Want to go aboard her?
Research Vessel Faraday. aboard your